Title of my workshop is The Sound of Righteousness in You. Now, when I began this workshop discovery, I thought I had a pretty good grasp on righteousness. I mean, I knew it was Jesus. I mean, I knew Jesus was our representation for the Father in a form of righteousness. I know about the armor of God, and Jesus is our breastplate of righteousness. So I'm like, okay, kind of got an understanding what righteousness is, right? He is my, you know, protection so I can go before the Father and without shame and speak with the Father and have communion with him, you know, to reconnect that line that we had in the Garden of Eden. Eventually, you know, I can hang out with the Father like Adam did, and Jesus is my righteousness, so God doesn't see the sin in my life, and he looks at me and sees his son, so therefore I'm good, right? Well, that's where he let me get to the first time I gave this workshop. The second time I was, it was coming up time for a workshop again, and I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, and I always, you know, ask God the same questions. You know, I want to see you, and I want to spend time with you, you know, like Adam did, and I want to have face-to-face conversation with you like Moses did. Well, so I was at work when all this happened, and once again I was praying for God, and I was on my knees, and I was like, God, you know, I really want to spend time with you like Moses did. You know, I want that relationship that Moses had. You know, you come see me face to face and speak with me. So he asked me how much was I willing to give up to get it, right? So I'm like, well, you know, I'll give up everything. You know, it's not a problem. I'll give 100%. You know, I'm thinking, you know, the basic stuff, like, you know, stop using profanity and be a better husband and be kinder to my kids. You know, the everyday stuff, the outward stuff. You know, I'm like, yeah, I can do that. No problem. You know, it's a little practice and I'll be good. And God said, you said you want to hang out with me. Yeah. There's a lot more to the righteousness you're seeking than just the outward appearance stuff. And I was like, okay, I still want it. I still want it. He's like, how bad do you really want it? I was like, with everything I got. He said, okay. At that moment, everything began for me. I started having situations that brought out frustration. I started having disagreements with my wife about things that didn't matter at all. And I couldn't understand why I didn't have the ability to communicate in these situations to fix it. You know, I'm pretty good at, like, fixing problems with people. I'm a nice guy, you know. I'm not trying to, you know, fluff anything up. We have a problem, we're going to sit down, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to come to an agreement, and that's that. But it wasn't working. Me and my wife would get in an argument. I'm like, hey, honey, you know what? Let me hear your side of the story. And I would try to be nice and kind, and the more I talked, the worse it got. Pretty soon, she was like, you know, I really just don't want to hear you talk anymore. Like, just be quiet. And I'm like, I don't get what's going on. So I go back to work, and, you know, I'm extremely, at this point, I'm just at my peaks in the frustration. I'm like, God, I don't know what else to do. I've tried talking. I've tried praying. I read the Bible. I was like, I've done everything I can do. I'm quitting. I'm done. I don't know what's going on, and I just can't do this anymore. So I'm sitting at my desk at work, and I'm sitting there, and I'm getting more frustrated the longer I sit, you know. So I'm like, I'm going to call my wife, and I call her up, like, hey, we need to talk. She's like, what's up? We start talking, and it just got worse and worse and worse. Hang up the phone. I'm sitting there. I put on the CD at work, this music CD. It wasn't even Christian. It had nothing to do with God or Christian music or anything. I'm sitting there listening. The more I listen to it, first of all, I'm like, I shouldn't be listening to this song, first of all. And the more I listen to it, the more frustrated I get. But I was so, at that point, I was so ready to just stop everything. I didn't care. And all of a sudden, I heard the scripture out of the CD that had nothing to do with God. It was like, it's a little tiny bit of a scripture. And then I stopped what I was doing. I turned off the CD, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, break me. That's all he said. He said, break me. At that moment, I knew I had to go out and ask God to break me. Now, I never had the courage to actually ask God to put his hands on me 100% before this moment. I didn't have the courage. But I was so frustrated. I was so fed up. I couldn't solve anything that I was like, this is the only option I have besides quitting. You know, my dad's not a quitter. He doesn't believe in quitting. If he has a problem, he figures it out and he keeps on trucking. That's what he does. So it's instilled in me. I can't quit. So I go outside. I'm at work. I'm working a night shift. Work on a missile base, and we got MPs and guards, and it's a secure base, so you have codes to get in everywhere. And I go outside, and I'm like, all right, God, break me. Just break me. And, you know, the more I say it, I just start sobbing, just crying uncontrollably at work outside. I'm yelling, like, God, break me. You know, if the fire's not hot enough, turn up the heat, you know. If you have to take everything I have from me and my wife to, you know, figure this out, then do it. I was like, I'll do anything it takes, but just break me, because I need to see what you see for me to get past where I am. And so I was on my knees just begging God, like, break me, break me, break me. And so, you know, I started crying, and, you know, something just broke inside of me. I got back up, went back to work, I sat down, and that's when God said, okay, now we can start. You said you want to hang out with me? I'm going to show you what righteousness really is. He said, righteousness isn't something you achieve. Righteousness is my son. That's Jesus. You said you want to hang out with me? Then you really need to understand who my son really is and who is going to come live in you. You need to be in him, and he needs to be in you if you want to ever hang out with me. Now, we all know that Jesus is the way to God. We know that we have to accept him in our heart to get to heaven. We know that. Okay, God said, great, good job, but you said you wanted more. So now that you know where the doorway is, let me explain to you what that means. Now, the cool thing that started to happen is God said, if you want to talk to me, there's a gift I gave you, uniquely to you, that you can't use or access without me. What is it? What did I give you that you have not been using, that we can talk openly, honestly? What is it? I was like, well, the only thing I have is poetry. He's like, that's right. You haven't been writing, have you? No. He's like, well, sit down. Let's get to work. So I'm like, okay. So this is where this all began. So this workshop is unique because God gave me these poems, like, one after the other. And every time I got to a place that I was just, like, struggling, he gave me another poem. So I wrote it down. I'd go to my mom's house, like, Mom, what does this mean? But the first one he gave me, I wrote it down. I went home, I read it, and, you know, this is how he started it. God usually gives me a line in a poem before I write it. And he only gives me one line, and he doesn't give me nothing else until I write that one line down. So until I write that one line down, that's all he's going to give me. Well, this is what he started. And, you know, usually God gives me a poem, and it will sound cool, or, you know, I like the beat or the rhythm of it. But when he gave me this one, I felt like I betrayed him, you know, like I turned my back on him, and I didn't understand what I had done, you know, because I was praying and reading the Bible and going to work talking to people about God, but that's not what he said in this, you know. So I'm going to read it to you, and this is the way he's been communicating with me on a daily basis. Even since I've been here, I've written two more poems, so I'm going to read this to you. And I'm going to read you the poems he gave me in sequence. And then I'll talk to you what he told me in between them to get to me to where I am right now. So this is when God started teaching me about his son righteousness, the act of righteousness, walking it out, the perseverance, the overcoming of righteousness. And this is what he said. So, okay, this is the scene. I'm in my bedroom, watching Sports Center, chilling. And the Holy Spirit says, I need to talk to you. Just like that. I need to talk to you. And by the sound of his voice, it wasn't, hey, you want to talk? He's like, I need to talk to you, and I need to do it right now. So I got up, grabbed my pen, you know, and got my book and started writing. This is what he said. I need to talk to you with words I cannot say. The things I am inspiring in you have no voice, no map, and are not up today. The battle you're fighting oneself cannot see. For the answers you're finding did not come from me. I am a selfish example of how my people should be. I know not lack or the reasons to disbelieve. You ask for my blessing, and yet you are not free. You ask for my testing and walk without inquiring first of me. The difference between you and Moses is the lack of belief. Where he would call, you retreat like a thief. My word is my bond, there is no beneath. Don't inquire of the fire, just believe that I am me. I know that you are hurting, but your reward is my release. So stay the course I have set and set my people free.
Take a step back.
I sat at my table, and honestly, when I read this, I got scared. I got scared right now because he said I retreated like a thief, and I didn't know what he meant. I'm like, did I steal something from God? So I was like, Mom, what are you doing? It's like 10 o'clock, 10:30. He's like, Mom, what are you doing? Can I come over? She's like, yeah. So I ran to my mom's house, and Mom and Dad comes out of the bedroom. He's like, what's wrong? You know, he sits down next to my mom. He's like, okay, let's hear it. Dad has that old wisdom, just okay. Mm-hmm. So I read it to him. My mom explained it, and that's when it started. God's like, I'm going to give you what you asked for, but it's going to cost you everything. And the test that I'm going to consistently put in front of you is the relationship you can't fix. Because not only am I working on you, I'm working on your wife too. But the difference between your foundation, I gave you a mother and a father who love God their entire lives. I gave you a mother and a father who have faithfully been before me. Your wife didn't have that upbringing. She is a Christian. She does love God. But I was woken up with prophecy. My mom, when we were younger, would sing, like she would start warring in the spirit, in tongues. And we're waking up to that. That's how we woke up. What's going on? You know? She'd be singing praise songs. We woke up, mom was singing praise songs, you know. If there was a problem, my mom would start warring the spirit, you know. My dad's a man of faith. He didn't understand. My dad just saw challenges and was like, God's got this, you know, and just would go do it. So I had that foundation, you know. Even when I didn't understand, it was still being instilled in me, okay. So God's saying, the challenge I'm giving you is, how are you going to react to my daughter? You said you want to hang out with me, but what is righteousness? How are you using my righteousness in the representation of my child? Yeah, you're frustrated and you can't figure out. And the key is, you're not going to be able to do this on your own. God brought me to the place where he's like, I'm going to show you what you can do and what I've done. So he backed off. In every situation, every frustration, every challenge, he would say, okay, first I'll let you go. Take a run at it. Fight. Go ahead. I'll watch. And you just stand there. I'd put my dukes up, and I'd get in a fight. And I would get my butt kicked every time. I would get frustrated. I'd get upset and make it worse for her, which makes it worse for me. And I would start crying. And just finally, when I was every single time, every moment at my lowest point, he would just stand there. He was always there, but he wasn't interacting. He would just look at me. And when I finally was like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to quit. He's like, okay. All right. Now let me show you what I can do. So that's how he started training me. That's what he started working in me, the righteousness that it's not what I can do. Even through all my Bible study and reading and knowing the scriptures, it didn't matter. It wasn't enough. So every time I would get to a situation where I couldn't function, literally just could not function, he would say, okay, you ready to fight? I'll show you something else. After I wrote the first poem that I read you, went to my mom and dad's house, I asked my mom, I said, would it be okay if I responded to God? Now, the only way I know that we can talk right now wasn't through scriptures, wasn't through me studying the Bible and reading for 5 hours in my bedroom, wasn't through song, it was through poetry. Because that's one communication ability he gave me, that I know he hears me and that I can hear him. So I was like, you know, Mom, my mom's a prophet. So I'm like, Mom, is it okay if I respond to God? Would he accept a response from me? Because up to this point, I have not been living up to the responsibility he placed in me. She's like, yeah, I think he would like that. So I said, okay. So this is my response I wrote to him inquiring of me. So to thank you, the value, my task is not yet complete. If ears could whisper, my mouth would not speak. Your purpose, the surface, oceans, fathoms deep. My response is not a taunt, for my actions are as repenters' tears when they weep. Your choice is my confession, the lesson, your voice without is recession. The secret, secret's impression, the irony of infection, cause and effect is a lesson. And so now, how does one speak? If gentleness is kind, then kindness is unique. My father, the author, with precious gems laid at your feet. Your omnipotence is such, how do questions not retreat? But all in all, I thank you for leaving me a seat. For your words, my spirit heard. For the Holy Spirit in me is elite. So at this point, I began to realize inside myself, I started to see the Holy Spirit in kind for who he was, for who he is. I knew how to talk to him. I could tell when he wanted to talk to me, but I didn't know how to use him. I didn't know how to rely on him with everything I had yet. So at this point, when I wrote this, I was beginning to see a glimmer of how powerful he really is. So the next thing I was thinking about my overall, I guess, my overall home situation, okay? For instance, you know, wintertime's coming up. I need to get wood, okay? We need a new stove for my house. My kids are starting school, and they're getting bigger. They need this, and they need that, you know? I'm trying to say, okay, first of all, I know God's going to take care of this, but as the man, as the dad, as the provider, what do I do? What's my part in this? Do I just sit down and stare at the dinner table and look out the window because God's going to do it? Or do I actively make strides into, you know, giving them what they're supposed to have? And I was unsure of how to respond because God already told me that my first mistake wasn't relying on him, not having faith and believing 100% in his capability for me. So at this point, I was like, okay, God, well, I don't know what to do. Do I act in myself or do I not act at all? What do I do? And so I started writing this. I started writing this one out of, I'm not going to call it frustration, but out of uncertainty, the straight uncertainty, because I'm in the place now where I want to do and be who God wants me to be. I want to do what he wants me to do, but I'm not sure how to do that. I'm in a place now where I've come to the place to know that I don't truly understand the full amount and responsibility of righteousness or how to use it. I really don't know. I know what the form is. I mean, I can sit down there and tell some of the scriptures all day, but I'm not walking in it yet. So with everything mounted around me, I wrote this. The purse strings, the first thing, bells ring. Kings sing, the cook brings cooked beans. The suffering, the wondering, water cleans. Dirty hands, filthy plants, unclean dreams. Sentencing, the happenings, cool springs. The brooks babble, babbling brooks, things sing. To find a place, the chase, erase its states. Heaven's gate, elate, exhilarate, and take shape. The mind of man, can, thinks he can. Tries to stand in quicksand, faulty plan. The hangman, the busman, shakes your hand. He quakes for his mistake takes. He turned and ran. Shadows parted. The mist started. The master's strand. His DNA paved the way like fire in a desert grand. A cloud by day, a coolness sprayed, life's demand. No longer firm on your face, your flesh ran. Now, man, I'm in charge. I'm my hand. As I started writing this, when I got towards the middle, God kind of took over. He saw me struggling. He saw me putting life's questions with his truth and mixing them up. And I had no idea what was up and what was down. So when I got to the end of this, God saying, you've acknowledged you need me. You've acknowledged you don't have the answers or the path to get to me. Because you've acknowledged it, I'm going to take it from here. I'll tell you when to walk, when to sit down, when to speak, and when not to. You just have to do according to how I tell you to. In whatever way I choose to tell you. Sometime it might be for my wife. Sometime it might be a coworker. Sometime it might be my daughter, you know? For instance, my daughter, you know, she comes in my room and I'm just sitting there. You know, my wife's in the kitchen cooking. She comes in my room, she's like, Daddy, what's up? Go give mommy a hug. We haven't been arguing. I didn't say anything mean today. Why? Dad, you just need to go give mom a hug. Now, I could say, oh, you know, hey, you're my daughter, don't tell me what to do. Or I could take a second. God said he would let me know what I need to do, when to walk, when to talk. If he wants to use my daughter, I should go in there and give my wife a hug. You know, my daughter's funny because she'll be like, Daddy. You know, she knows, you know, God runs our house. She knows, actually. I'm telling you, Daddy, you told me already. This is God's house. All right. So, you know, God, you know, that's how it works. So I'm like, okay. All right. God, I hear you. Go hug your wife, you know. So as time goes on, God begins to show me that the righteousness he's trying to teach me, putting in me, is the righteousness that goes by faith, not by what I feel or what I see or what I hear or what I think needs to be done. It's strictly by faith, 100%. I feel like I'm in a room and it's dark. I can't see anything. And the only navigational abilities I have is his voice. Go here. Take 3 steps. Sit down. I can't see what's in front of me. I don't even know if there's going to be anything in there when I sit. But that's what he told me to do because I said I wanted to hang out with him. So this next poem, I'm in that dark room. Give my wife a hug. The next challenge God brings my way is, it's like, I call it the absence of memory. Okay? Up until a certain point in my life, I act on what I know works. Okay? I know if I, you know, for instance, if I get my paycheck and I split it up this way and pay this and this, I know that I'm gonna have this left over because it's worked for me these couple years, you know? And, you know, I know if my brother's upset at me and I speak to him this way, he's gonna forget in 2 minutes and we'll be fine again, you know? I know this stuff. It's, you know, elementary. God's like, no, you really don't. You really don't. I'm going to show you something different, okay? So he's saying, I'm going to take everything you thought you knew, and we're throwing it away. I'm going to show you that you can't do this, all right? So this next poem he gave me is pretty much me just surrendering in that moment. Just, all right, God, you got it. This wrestling match, this moment, you're way stronger than me, so you win. The difference between right and obedience, the things I forgot to say. Acknowledge the kings of kings and get out of his way. There's not enough time or moments in a single day for simplicity to ignore the score or persist without seeking the Father's way. To plant is to harvest, as light is too bright, the reason we pray. To fight is to beg for repentance, and forgiveness is the victory we say. The lifting of the hands is surrender. The calming is tears that may. As we follow God's glory, we learn that the shame has no stay. As I sit in amazement, I stand and fathom that day when Christ stood for all upon me and died for the kings, and died for the keys to unlock my tray. My hands shake with envy, for my heart beats not astray. My voice echoes the choice that befriends me as the envy in my hands give way. O Father, not my enemy, to you all of me I say, I choose my wrong over your enemy, for my wrong is the right in me I slay. So this, I'm saying, okay, God, all those times, I'm sick of being right with everything. I'm sick of getting in a disagreement, you know, I know what the right thing to do is, this is what you need to do. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of knowing the answers. You know, I'm sick of having the right responses. I'm sick of, you know, acting in the right mode. I'm sick of all of it. Because obviously, up to this point, it hasn't worked. Because I'm not hanging out with you. You know, I'm not in your presence. I'm not face-to-face with you. So I quit. Everything I know about Ben, I give up. I give up. I'm ready to start over. I'm acknowledging that. I'm like, I'm done. When I actually came to this realization, I was at work. I was with a coworker. We were playing poker. Just with chips. And I was sitting there, and he's a Christian. We always go back and forth, talk about God, debate, and he's a engineer, so he's really analytical, and he's a brilliant guy. So we go back and forth, and, you know, I was raised in prophecy and the Holy Spirit, and he's analytical and scripture, and so sometimes we, you know, butt heads on what God's saying. We're going back and forth, and I'm sitting there, and with him, God has been, he's been teaching me to be quiet, you know, Because we'd get in debates, and I was like, you're missing it, man. You're missing it. He's a little younger than me, and I'm like, you're missing it, you know? And I know because I've walked through that, you know? But God's like, be quiet. Let him talk. Be quiet. To the point where I was getting mad, like, he ain't even right, you know? He's not even close to being right. Like, I could open the Bible and show him the script he's trying to bring up, and it's not even quoting. God's like, I don't care. Be quiet. I said, he's right, and you're not, so be quiet. And it was happening so much. Like, I literally sometimes had to get up and, like, I got to go to the bathroom. I can't. I can't talk about this with you right now. Holy Spirit's just being telling me to shut up. So it was that one of those moments. We were debating, and I just realized, you know, I'm sick of being right. I'm sick of it. You know, and God's like, all right. Ding, ding, ding. You're getting it. It's another part about righteousness you understand. You know, righteousness, since righteousness is Jesus, we have to remember who Jesus really is. You know, the Bible said that he was there in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like her sister was reading. He was there in the beginning. He is the Word. So everything that's created is Jesus. And the Word became flesh. That's who we're dealing with here. You know how powerful he is? So he tells me to be quiet. I should probably be quiet. This next poem, after I came to the realization of I need to be quiet, and I was sick of being right, you know, it was time to change everything. I started dealing with my incapability of fixing home problems, you know. You gotta understand, man, like, for me, my house is like my dwelling place. Like, I can go home and it's chill. Like, I don't have any demand on my wife. Cook if you want, clean if you want, I don't really don't care. Yeah, as long as the kids aren't hurt, do what you gotta do. If I really want done that bad, I'll do it myself. Like, that's how I feel. Like, we don't need to argue. It's just, like I said, it was just, you know? And I went to God consistently about my wife, and I felt like he was just not responding, not even trying to respond. That's how I felt, you know? Of course, God doesn't have to let me know what he's doing, but I felt like, God, you know, I'm coming to you genuine, and I'm asking you if there's a problem. First, work into me first and fix me, and then work on her. But he wasn't doing it like I wanted him to. So, whew, boy. And so we, I finally got busted. Every aspect of this training he's got me in, he brings me to the place of, like, frustration, anger, and then just surrender. Like, that's what it comes to, you know? He puts me in the fight, in the ring, and he's like, go for it. See what you got, you know? He knows I'm going to lose, you know? Before this all happened, actually, Mary Glacier is one of our apostles of our church, and she told me this was going to happen, okay? And I heard her, but I had no idea what she was talking about until this began. She's like, God said that he wants to wrestle with you. And she's like, he's going to win. He's like, but he wants you to put up a good fight. He enjoys it. That's what she said. She's like, he wants you to fight. So, all right. So now I'm in the thick of this. I'm like, this isn't fun at all. I'm not enjoying this, you know, because, you know, God's taking people that, and situations, you know, and I have the answers, the right answers, you know, I have the answers. And he's like, shut up. Nobody wants to hear you. Shh. You know? And he's telling me, if I say they're right, regardless of what you see, they're right. Just not break it down. So this one, I'm like pleading with God. Pleading about my home situation and me and my wife's situation. And I'm so frustrated. I'm just like, you know what, God, would it be better if I just wasn't here? If I just didn't exist, you know? Because I felt like, at this point, I felt like I was the result of every frustration she's ever had in her life. Like, I was the cause of it. You know, that's what I had. That's how I felt. So this is what came out. Am I the same, insane in the brain? Does your fame elude my stain? The longer it takes, the greater the pain. Every day I wake, I feel lame. As a broken bone snapped and ground its grain. Every day I attempt to surrender my will, but my flesh, like a disease infects me still. Please forgive me, for I am weak and ill. Everything that matters shatters. Broken glass is how I now feel. When she looks at me, I feel the chills, as icicles frozen steady and unable to drill. If I could die, maybe she could heal. If my life passed by, maybe she could again fill. My heart aches for the mistake she made with me. She deserves much more. Without me, maybe she could be free. A prison camp with the guard holding the likeness of me. She means so much. I hope God will soon her lead. He's in control. For her, he loves dear. So this much I do know, that Bona, my wife, one day will be revered. And like, we all heard the stories how sneaky the devil is, right? Like, he always sneaks that 1% in. He ain't got nothing on God. I'm writing this like, God help me, and I don't know what's going on. And at the end, that he slides something in, you know? It took me a while to catch it. He's saying, this much I do know, that one day Bona will be revered. Ben, did you catch it? I thought I was writing this. He let me rant and rave, and I'm hurting, and it hurts, and He's like, but one day she'll be revered. I didn't say when, you know? Okay, God, all right. The cool thing about all this, God was bringing me to the place I had to deny myself. Now, this has literally been the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Because every day when I wake up, and no matter where I go, I have to look at myself, you know? And I have to say, today, you're wrong. But I don't know why. Today, you're not going to be capable of it. But I don't know why. Today, you're not going to be able to solve it, but you're going to get into trouble. There's nothing you need to get out of it. But I don't know why. And then, I don't know if God was just giving me a view so I could hang in there, or I finally came to the place where I could see what he was doing all along. But, what happened was, I was in my truck. I pulled up to work. I was frustrated. I mean, frustration is part of the thing I'm doing. So I pulled up to work and I saw something I've never seen before in my life. I've heard the Bible say, you know, flesh is our biggest adversary. But I saw myself. Okay, so I was in my truck sitting down, and I saw me, but I was over here. And I had this really ugly smile on my face, like, gotcha. But I was looking at me. It was me. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't a demon. It wasn't my wife. It wasn't a mean person. It was me. I'd been lying to myself. And I was standing there, and I was, you know, in shape. I was muscular, but I was dirty. I was dirty. I could tell that I knew the Bible, and I knew of God, but I was dirty. I was filthy. I wasn't clean. And for the first time in my life, I didn't have any more excuses. For the first time, I saw me for who I really was. And I was a sneaky, selfish, prideful, mean something to myself. I'd been lying to myself this whole time. I had been telling myself, I got this, you know? I'm capable of this, you know? Yeah, I pray, but you know, Ben, you know enough about the Bible. You got this. I was lying. That's when everything started to churn for me. I went to work and I cried, you know? I wept because I've been blaming God this whole time. Like he wasn't helping me. It was me. And I saw me and this bright light sitting next to me. And I knew when I looked over here, it was going to be okay. Because I knew what I was up against in myself. And I knew I didn't have the power to beat me. But he did. And he was saying, we got this. Now you see me, and you see in you what's hindering you and me from the relationship that you're asking me for. And then I wrote this. And that's when everything just started making sense. So I'm gonna read this, and I'll tell you the cool thing. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, got all rolled into one, gave me tears. All right, here we go. Yeah. To deny oneself, to die to one's wealth, to cry and not feel what's felt, to try to defy, but to love is to melt. In the eye I spy, the lie is my vision dealt. My father is hotter than all ever felt. Here my strength eludes me. Here my courage abuses me. Here my me confuses me. Here myself attempts to intrude in me. Here I'm naked and a fool to see. Here my reflection reflects the true me. Although the Father created me, I'm full of trash, the brawn and brass I thought made up the best of me. I'm a cankerworm lacking the honey of a honeybee. There is no sugar or sweetness in me. My intellectual stamina and ability, nothing but lies and broken ties surrounding me. Oh, Father, how could you ever befriend one like me? Please enlist your will to reshape me, to remake me, to retake me, so you may again desire my presence and in the cool of the day. As I pray, spend time with me. And for the first time, I understood that he wasn't not answering me. I couldn't hear him. I was blocking him. Because I took a look at what I thought I was and what I thought I knew, you know? And I had some arrogance there still. But when I saw myself, I knew what I was up against now. And then everything in my life just made sense. Everything with the frustration she was feeling made sense. And God gave me something that day. He just didn't show me and leave. From that moment on, every time I would get frustrated at a situation or a conversation, there was a small place in me, about this big, that I could retreat to. I would just take a breath, blow it out, calm down. Thanks. And there was this place inside of me that once I got there, no matter what was going on around me, it was quiet. Remember that dark place I told you I was in? That God told me to take 3 steps and sit down, but I know what I was sitting on. And it just felt like he was abandoning me in some dark room just for fun. No. It was this secret, quiet place. But now I could see. And there was a small light, just enough for me to fit like I was in a womb. Like I was a little baby in a womb. I could just snuggle up there. And every time anything was going on, if I just took 1 second, just took a breath, and got to that place, nothing got to me. And I had a reassurance that God was going to take care of it. Like, it didn't matter how he was going to take care of it. It didn't matter when he was going to take care of it. I just knew he was going to take care of it. And it was going to be okay. I didn't have to fight anymore. I didn't have to argue anymore. I didn't have to debate anymore, because he was just going to take care of it. And so, I wrote this one. I wrote this one. He gave me this one, and I wrote it down, because I was being obedient. What I thought I knew, I did not know. What I thought I saw, a pattern that would not grow. What I thought was mine, would not flow. What I thought would run, drastically moved ever so slow. Without the snow, a blizzard that would not blow. That which was blind was never blinded by the snow. The testing effect, the questions that know. The answers that come are not seen by what grows. For the growth of a son is learned through the pain that shows. When blood spills and bread is formed from dough, so too is the mind healed, and the character of the Creator glows. So hold your tongue, for words know not where to go. But a passion is kept, so too is the heart as it grows. So now, I've learned to fight. But I wasn't throwing punches. I wasn't pulling out my sword. I wasn't saying, okay, there's a scripture, take that. I was running to my father, like a little baby, and saying he's going to take care of it, and just getting quiet. Everything started to change. I would go home. Me and my wife would get into it. And I would be like, wait a second. I got to go outside and cut some wood. Go outside. Take my breath. Find my little place. Now, don't get it twisted. The irritation is still there. The frustration is still there. Whatever we were arguing about is still there. But now, I know he's going to take care of it. So now, I know that the frustration, the anger, that's coming from the old me that I saw in my truck. That's not really me anymore. So I'm like, okay, I see you, and no. And I'm not reacting because I love her. So I'm going to go to that secret place. And the coolest thing happened. We got into it, went to my secret place. Now, I was outside for a grit, like 3 hours, cutting wood, walking around the house a couple times, because I didn't want to go and argue. I didn't want to argue. I did not want to fight. Went out, had this fire pit we dug in the backyard. Went outside and lit a fire and sat out there for like 2 hours, 3 hours, just sitting there. Kind of looked over my shoulder because I could see in the house where I was at. Like, what is she doing? So I walked inside. My son's like, Daddy, there. It's like 9:30, so they're in bed. And my son's calling from us, there's Daddy. And you can hear him because I had the window open. So I ran inside. My wife's over here on the couch. And I was like, yes, son? I have to come inside. She's right there. Yes? You need me? I need to go to the bathroom. All right, let's go to the bathroom. So then I go back outside. 30 minutes go by, and she comes outside. I'm sitting there. She comes around the fire. She goes, you know, you're right. She said, all this stuff I keep having you do and these tasks I want you to do to show me how much, you know, you care about me and you love me. She's like, you're right. These aren't God. She started crying. And she's like, I'm sorry because I know you love me so much. And I know you do anything for me. I'm really sorry for putting you through all this stuff, you know? And she talked for 5 minutes, and I'm sitting there like, you're like, do I say something? I don't know what to say, so I'm just sitting there like, I don't, this is, she's not, I'm sorry, that's not, she doesn't do that. She doesn't apologize, she doesn't admit she's wrong, so I literally was just like, I don't know what to do. So I was sitting there, she's crying, you know, and I'm just like, she's crying and everything. And then, you know, God brings back to my memory. I got this. Not your ways. My ways. Could you have caused this? No. You'd be the one crying. She'd be so upset if you... So, that's when everything started to change. Now, I wish I could say that moment happened and from then on we were just hunky-dory. No, God still is not done with me, you know? So, every time... God is so cool, okay? Oh, man. We bought a pool table, all right? Just quick. We bought a pool table, and she's good. She's way better than me. Like, we play 15 games, I might win one. Like, that good. Like, just beating me, you know? So, it got so bad, I went to work one day, and I was just like, God, how come I can't beat her in pool? This is, come on, man. I was like, pool? And the Holy Spirit was like, you want me to tell you really what? He's like, you want me to tell you the real reason you can't beat her in pool? It's like, yeah, there's a reason, you know. He's like, because you're good at a lot of things. I've given you a lot of gifts, okay? And through you learning how to love in spite of this loss, I hate losing. I'm sorry, I just don't. I don't like to lose, especially to my wife, okay? Because then I'm going to hear about it all day. He's like, once you learn to master this, everything is going to get even better. And besides, she needs this. She's like, she needs this. She needs to beat you at pool. What else is she going to do? She's like, you know, you had a foundation of God growing up, so you're already ahead of her in that, and that's all you talk about. I don't want to talk about home with God, this, you know, the Bible, scripture, and, you know, she's like, I love God, but shut up, you know, I don't, you know. So he's like, I'll give this to her. So this next poem I wrote is... Like I said, I still have frustrations. You know, it's not over, but now just God's gave me an out. And the Bible says, you know, in any calamity we come to or anything that happens to us, God's going to give us an exit. We always have a choice to get out. He's going to give us a way out. So this next poem that he gave me is, once again, like, now that I know how I look, and, you know, I know what I'm up against, I don't have as many excuses I used to have. God's called me on the carpet faster and faster and faster because I know, you know, and I know that he's there to help me. I'm not alone. He's gave me a place to hide. He's gave me assistance that I can see, and I know it works because he gave me, you know, representation of what he can do if I let him. So he's called me on the carpet a lot faster. So this is a next representation of I hadn't yet challenged me yet. Even though I know I was there, I saw myself, but I hadn't went at myself yet. I was scared, okay? I was scared to go at myself. I don't know why, I just was. I hadn't challenged me yet. So, after I wrote this, it gave me the courage to challenge me, that the old me that I saw, you know. So I wrote this, and then I'll tell you about the fight. It was cool. Yeah. All right. Envision, prism, collision. My thoughts are prison. How can one breathe inside lost decision? My mask is black. The fact has risen. I'm attacked and tracked, fearing incision. What I lacked, my attempt to subtract, crushes my back. My lonely invention no longer intact. I sway and pray, not knowing the facts. My allegiance, egregious, prestigious, but treasonous. The meaning of such is strategically meaningless. Eagerless, I sit here feverless. My symptoms unknown, boil, leaderless, tremendously tedious. The water that pours, bores, stores through my doors. No attempt to keep score. The war itself is the gore. Its reflection a gorge sore. Its wealth mimics the poor with visions galore. Like a veil it tore and recited no more. The huntress before, but hunts me no more. Like a poisonous mushroom or a scentless perfume, my order exists, but not for consumption to consume. Consumers are doomed. My reflection a section, perfection's the room. If the church is the bride, I'm inside of the groom. My tendency is my enemy, my friend in me, the trinity. The best of it, the remedy. So clumsy me relies on me. Now I see belief believing in he, because he is in me. See, before, I'd write poems and I'd be like, no, I see belief believing in the believing me, you know, I see belief believing in Ben. This time he said, I see belief believing in he, not in me, in he. Because for the first time, he was actually in me. Because I was resisting the old me that was refusing the righteousness of Jesus. That was refusing the right choice. So I was refusing not to get mad, not to argue. The things that bring the I guess you could say the hatred out of you, you know? I was refusing those things now. So the first time the belief was believing in God, because now they could see him in me. I could see the reflection of him in me now. This is when, after I picked a fight with myself. Now I remember, my wife beats me at pool, and I hate it. I don't like it. So I was like, you know what, babe? She'd been asking me to play pool for like 3 days. And I didn't want to argue through her. So I'm like, no, I don't want to play. I don't want to play because I don't want to fight, you know. Is it immature? Yeah, but I didn't want to fight, okay? So I came home from work one day. I was like, you know what? I want to pick a fight. It's time. So I walk in the house. I'm like, babe, I want to play pool. We're going to play all night long. And I'm going to lose. But I need to pick a fight. She's like, what? Not with you. I need to pick a fight with me. See, I tell my wife everything, so even if she doesn't understand what I'm talking about, I'm going to tell her anyway, you know? She's like, you're going to pick a fight with yourself? I'm like, yeah. I was like, you know what? It's time for me to get over it. I don't need to get mad when you beat me, you know? I want to spend time with you, and I need to pick a fight. So I knew it was going to happen. I'm going to get mad. But I was like, you know what? Now I know it's not really me. This isn't who I am. I'm not angry. This isn't Ben, you know? I've seen who that is, and we're picking a fight. So let's go play. So we started to play. Cack! Ah, nice shot. That was a good shot because you hit it off the back and it went in. Ha! That was great. Good job. Crack! Man, you're good at this game. Great shot. Great shot. And the further the game went, I wasn't getting mad. I wasn't getting angry. And for the first time, I was winning. I was losing, but I was winning. Something was different. And I was like, how's that feel? And I'm talking to myself now. She's here, but I'm talking to myself. Like, how does that feel? You want to get mad, don't you? It ain't going to work. She's just better than you. And she says, look at me like, what are you talking about? What are you saying, you know? And so finally, you know, she goes hit the eight ball, and she hits it in. Our ceiling's kind of slanted in my house, so you know, I'm tall. So she hit the eight ball. I was like, oh, nice shot. And I was like, boom, hit my head. I was like, ah, not going to get mad. Good job. But like, I'm still not getting mad. You know, you hit your head, but I'm good. So then I wrote this, and this is like Jesus coming to the rescue, you know. He's like, yeah, surprise. How do I look? You can finally see more of me now. You can see my silhouette and everything. You like it? So this is a mixture of my flesh, the lie, and then Jesus coming in and saving the day. Okay? So here we go. I can't beat you, but I refuse to lose. The choice that mutters, wrong lips with wrong news, wrong desires dazed and confused, his motion's a liar, and beauty's his ruse. A self on fire no longer accused, through the muck and mire a portrait abused, lyrically gifted, musically confused, a test of testing, battered and bruised, confessing infection, lacing dirty shoes, how deep is the depth, the court has been sued, a stranger in camp, the danger ensues, the lifting of the hands, the praise has been viewed, together forever the Savior's dues, paid in full, the taxes excused, the labors are few, the workers infused, given in plenty the strength, overweighs the confused, perfection, election, the King of the Jews, titles for mocking, but rose and subdued, granted all power, sovereignty, created, resumed, the gatekeeper of greatness, love is his broom, so where are his acts, his deeds, and perfume, where is his smile that changes the room, where is his light that rewrote humanity's doom, his reflection is us, we are the bride, for Jesus is the groom. And so that was like him coming to my rescue, like, all right. You know you can't box. Move. Let me jump in there. He can throw now. He put his hands up. So, and he was fighting my battles now. I didn't have to fight anymore, you know? So now he's like, now you kind of have understand of what righteousness is, you know? It's more than you just getting to go before God. It works for you on every level. It changes the landscape. It changes how people see me because how you act, you know? It changes how you react to people, and they get to see the representation of me in you. For example, my brothers and I got two brothers, like Nancy was saying. I got an older brother named Dan and a younger brother named Joe. Both love God. And we had a softball team. So all three of our wives were playing, and then we had a couple other friends that were playing. So we go to the softball game, long story short, and there was our team and another team called the Firefighters, and we were both undefeated. So, we're starting playing this game, and one of the members of the other team, we start playing, and they start talking junk, like, off the bat, okay? So, I'm standing there. My brothers are funny, okay? My older brother doesn't put up with guff. Like, he just doesn't do it. No guff. Like, if you got a problem with him, he's going to come to you right away, and you're going to settle it right now. He doesn't care. My younger brother has a quick tongue. Like, I say quick, he's fast. Like, you have mocking, he'll mock you back, you know, and he's really good at it. But, so we're playing a softball game, and the other team starts talking, and both my brothers turn and look at me at the same time. I'm just standing there. So they're like, okay. Keep playing. First inning. Talking, blah, blah, blah. They can't look at me again. I'm just standing there. Like, okay. Fourth inning, fifth inning. Keep talking, blah, blah, blah. Older brother's like, Ben, how long are we going to take this? Because this isn't right. And the game was close. It was neck and neck. Pow, 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 pow. So finally, the seventh inning comes. And last inning, we're down a point. And they're talking. My older brother's like, okay, I'm sorry. Ben, I'm sorry. And he starts talking back. Blah, 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 blah. So after the game, we end up winning the game. But now the other team's upset because we won. And my brothers, both of them, start talking, blah, blah, blah. Back with the other team. So after the game, the other team went and told the post commander because we're playing on a post. And they got my older brother. They're like, well, they're not going to let him play. Now, the whole idea of playing on this team was we want to play together. So they called me. Ben, what are you going to do? I was like, well, Dan's not playing, I'm not playing. Well, if you're not playing, we're not playing. So everybody's like, well, we're not playing. I'm like, all right, cool. So my younger brother finds out about it, and he calls the person. He's like, you know, that was messed up what you did, blah, blah, blah. And then he called and told me about it. And I was at home, I was thinking about it. And Bona comes to me, she's like, you know, what do you think about what happened? What do you think about the person that was, you know, talking to us and stuff? And I was like, honey, you know, I was like, listen, we got God, right? We have a lot going for us. We know we have futures and God's working in our lives. That person doesn't know God like we do. That softball game was the climax of their life. That's the best they got right now. That's why they're doing all the talking. I was like, let it go, you know. So I was praying. I felt to go talk to my younger brother. I was like, man, hey, you know, that's not how we represent God. We don't do that. We don't respond that way. The Bible says very clearly not to, you know. He's like, okay. And, you know, he was listening to the Bible on his phone, you know, after that, and he heard the same scriptures I was talking about. The Holy Spirit told me to tell him. He came back and was like, you know, you're right. I just heard that in the Bible. I'm like, cool. Well, like a month goes by. I go back into work, and that same person that was talking, I have to go through entry control. They check my ID and everything to get to my my job. And that person, they're a guard. So they come out, and I see him. I was like, hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. It's good to see you. Kind of look at me, you know, because last time we saw each other, they were blah, 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 blah. I was like, hey, it's good to see you. You know, they did the check, and I was like, how you doing? You guys doing? Your family doing okay? They're just like, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm like, all right, good, man. You know, I was like, hey, Mel, see you later. It's good to see you, you know. I got to walk in the door, and all the guards left. They're done searching my truck, and everybody goes inside, and they come back up by themselves. Walk up to me, start crying. They're like, listen, Ben. They're like, I'm so sorry for how I treated you guys. Like, you didn't deserve that. And I just want to apologize because I went too far and overreacted. Just please forgive me. I'm just like, you're fine. It's okay. You know, Jesus loves you. I didn't know what to say. I'm just like, you know, yeah, we're good. We're good. You know, and I went home. I called my wife. I was like, guess what? Guess what happened? God went to bat for us. You didn't have to say anything. She's like, really? Yeah. That's what he does, you know. We don't have to speak for ourselves. And that was a representation of Jesus being Jesus, his righteousness, you know. Representation of, that's, what we don't realize is that is appealing to non-Christians. When they can treat us like dirt, and for some reason we can muster up enough courage to be peaceful and be calm and just not say anything, there's something about that, you know. They gave us the best they had and we didn't respond. There's something about that. I'm interested in that. I want some of that, you know. So now all this has transpired, and so God's been working on me. I've been doing better and better about going to my secret place, you know. And frustrations come, going to my secret place, and I'm getting better and better at it, you know. Like I said, I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm still every now and then, you know, still throw stuff out, you know. But overall, I'm getting better and better at it. So. I was at work, and I was writing and reading some stuff, and you know, just spending time. I wasn't purposely like trying to spend this amazing time with God. I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't like I'm gonna meditate on the Lord today. I wasn't. I was just looking at stuff and like, oh, this is pretty cool. Reading a book. I got from my mom's house. Talks about, you know, Bible and stuff. And I got up and I walked outside of my my job, and I stood on this little stoop, and I felt something I never felt before. For the first time, I felt like I just came out of the presence of God, because I feel like I could go run up that mountain right now easily. I felt invincible. I never felt like that before. This wasn't a drug. This wasn't a high. This felt like I could do anything. And it was like it was a knowing. I just spent time with God today. Like I just came from sitting with God. Like, he was there with me, and I didn't even know it. And I started thinking, like, how did I not know that? Like, don't you think if you're in the presence of God that you would feel something, or maybe the room would shake, or, you know, you hear some loud, Benjamin, something, right? None of that happened. He just showed up, and then it was done. And I got up and walked out, and I was like, something was different. I feel like this. So I'm like, how did I not know that? How did I not know that? And God's like, what did I tell you to do? If you want to communicate, what did I tell you to do? Go sit down. I'll tell you exactly what happened. Okay. All right. So I did. And it wasn't until I started writing this, then all the other stuff started kicking in, like the trembling and the realization of where this came from, and whew, it was intense. So this is what he gave me. Yeah, okay. I was in the presence of God and didn't know it. The crystallites in the air begin to show it. The fumes that frolic there, free from care, stoic. The raindrops appeared, revered, historic. The sun flew high where there was no sky to support it. As bright lights dim, the sun ferociously stood in, but God's greatness aborted it. As if prayer and play, the secrets to the king's way were owned by it. The thing that only the Father can bring while kings search for it. As I stood, I knew I could, but first I had to learn it, not earn it. For me with man's mentality, but a fallacy in the midst of it. How could this be in spite of me intrinsically existing incoherently? I stood not, but in the presence of immensity, uncreatable autonomy, independent self-governed sovereignty. And nothing about my old man's properties, flesh's monopoly, was able to adopt God's philosophy. I shook, for the fear spewed from my heart. I was less than a fraction of myself, for I knew my trembling would tear me apart. The gift now granted to me had no leftover remnants or created energy that held a beginning or a start. My breath eluded me, and my ability to touch was lost, like the floating dwelling place, Noah's Ark. I looked around, and nothing could I see. All distinctions known to man had long ran and left behind the quivering me. Even my physical body excluded my own sensibilities. What was to become of me? Why was I here in a place where not even my knees could bring me stability? In this place, I am the essence of calamity, but yet somehow I am both a part of a prodigy and a prophecy. His good graces shower me, flower me, empower and tower me. There is so much more, but I lack the spiritual ability to see. But now that I stand here, I remember his words given to me. It's not long and not through song. I was there simply because he loves me and wanted me to be. See, I've been begging to spend all this time with God, you know. But the problem was, I was under false pretenses. You know, I knew what it was going to be like when I got there, and you know, the things I was going to see, and how the room was going to shake. But God's like, first of all, I always told you, and different ones I've said throughout this conference, God's always there. It's just we lack the ability to note it and see it, you know. But he's like, you were there in my presence because I wanted to spend time with you. I wanted to hang out with you and see what you were doing today. Cool. let's see. Let me go backtrack. Value the task complete. Nope. Okay. Nope. Okay. I can read that one. So, those are ones I wrote today. So, in wrap up. Should I read that one?
Yes, read it.
All right. Well, okay. Maybe this is the conclusion. Check this out. When I got here, all right, Nancy and Sarah Tartt hit me up, like, immediately I showed up. They picked us up at the airport, right? So I get in the van, and I'm in the van with Nancy and Sarah Tartt, you know? And, like, Sarah Tartt, ever since I've known Sarah Tartt, like, when I first met, the first time I met her, it was, like, my first conference I ever came to, and I wasn't speaking or anything. I was in Georgia. You know, I just came. What was I? Right? And I was just there, you know? My mom had begging me to come to Point Hope for so long. I'm like, no, no, no. And finally, I was at, like, work. I was working as a guard, freezing my butt off, and I got fed up with life. I was like, okay, God, if you give me a platform, give me something to do, I'll do it. At night, my mom's like, your dad can't come to Point Hope. You want to come? My wife's like, yes, he's coming. I'm like, okay, I'm coming, I'm coming. Yeah, Mom, I'll be there. So I show up to Georgia, first time, and I heard about Sarah Tartt. I heard about Nancy. I heard about all the Point Hope. But I never met any of them. And I was sitting next to my mom in the second row. Sarah walks in. We're all sitting down there. Nancy's up there, and Sarah walks in. Like, I don't even know Sarah Tartt yet, right? She walks in, and she gets something out of her bag and writes this little note. And she's like, hey, Ben, this is for you. I don't know Sarah Tartt from nobody. I'm just like, I mean, I've heard of her, but I never actually talked to her. Hey, Ben, this is for you. And turns back around. I read it, and I was like, it said, you will never be the same, you know? First time I met Sarah Tartt. And I was like, I'll never be the same. I've heard that before. But what God showed me then is, it wasn't about what was going to happen to me. It was I willing to receive it? And that time, it clicked. I was like, man, this is something I have to accept. I'm not going to be the same. I'm going to choose to be different. I'm going to choose to walk whenever God has me. And that moment, that started me on Point of Hope. My entire life changed after that moment. That one little note by Sarah Tartt gave me. So when I see Sarah Tartt and Nancy and all these, they always have something from God, like, right now. Like, I don't call them and email them and tell them what's going on in my life. I don't. Like, I show up at the airport, I walk down the stairs, me and my dad. And she's like, hey, Ben, what are you feeling right now? I was like, man, I don't know, Nancy. I feel like I can breathe. You know, like I'm not fighting. I just feel like comfortable, like I'm at home. She's like, yeah, that's what I thought. And then we get in the van, and this hair is, they're like, they spoke exactly into my life. They were telling me things I didn't tell. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell anybody. It kept to me and God, you know, how I was feeling, the frustrations that I was going through. And, like, you know, like I said, I hadn't communicated with them at all, you know. They were just like, so it's awesome. So that's my experience with, like, Point of Hope people. When I come to Point of Hope, I come expecting everything, you know. When I get weak and I'm like, I'm frustrated, I'm like, I need to go to Point of Hope Commons like right now. When's the next Commons? You know, because I walk in here, Mary Beth, and all you guys do, I know God has something for me. I just have to be quiet and pay attention. I just have to sit there. You know, if he wants a word, he'll someone come and give me a word. And it's always exactly what I was thinking. And the cool thing, like, how do you know it's God? Because I don't tell people. I'm private, dude. I don't talk about myself and my family. These guys come and tell me stuff about me. Hey, Ben. What God told me to tell you, like word for word. I'm just like, God, do we have any secrets? Like, any so with this poem, the reason why I told you about that is because this poem, I got here, and God's been having me ask people what they want. Like, I can go to pray for somebody, or, you know, in the church, or I've been training at my church to be a leader in my church. So, you know, they have been having me come out help learn how to pray and stuff like that. And God's been really asking me, Ben, you know. My brothers come to me and stuff. Hey, I need help. I need you to pray for me. God's saying, hey, Ben, ask them what they want. What do they want? So I've been asking, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? God wants to know what you want. So I sit down, and Nancy's like, hey, Ben, I got a question. At the table, I'm like, what's up? You know, I'm like, I'm ready for this. She's like, what are you striving for? I was like, well, I was like, well, okay. I was like, well, I know what I want. Like, I want that Moses connection with God. I want to sit down with God face to face and talk to God. She's like, yeah, it's not the same thing. She's like, what are you striving for? And she gave me an example and, you know, told me what she was going for. And I was just like, man, that's so much better than what I was thinking. So, and then I was sitting there, and Sarah Tarr looks at me from across the table, just straight up. She's like, I know you're thinking about what you're going to say. She's like, but God's going to give you a poem before you get from this table. And soon she said that, I'm like, oh, no, that's going to happen, because every time they tell me something, it happens. And sure enough, I had to go grab my book. I'm like, okay. So I wrote this. This is where this came from. Every time I think that, you know, I've turned a chapter, or I've learned something, you know, I've completed something, God's like, nope, we got to start over. I got to break it down again. And this is what this is. So this conference for me, first of all, it's like I walked out of something and into something new, but now I have to start over again. And that's what this poem is. So this is answering inside of myself, I guess, wrestling with the question Nancy asked me, what are you striving for? So I guess I thought I knew what it was, but that's not. So here it goes. I know what I want because somebody else had it, but what is it I need? God has it. I'm trying to grab at it. My answers are only a facet. My questions stab it. My fear is that I'm alone. My opponent is magic, savage, elastic. The pros are somatic, but God's grace is emphatic. So what am I missing? My lack is tragic. I'm baffled by the trash in my attic. Many results, reflection of extensive habitual bad habits. God alone has the key. I'm waiting for him to pass it. I groan and at the mouth foam without the tactics. I flow and wail. The friction causes static. What breach of contract have I shattered? I guess the key is not to become hysterically bruised and battered, tattered, self-repugnant and wrongfully splattered. My words, my worldly condition, aspiring for Jesus' ascension. Anything contrary is a prodigal invention. Prodigal invention. God always, like, he always tells me, he's nice, but he, like, he'll wait and ask me a question, and I'll be like thinking real hard, and like, okay, I got something really cool, and I'll say, and he's like, yeah, that's actually kind of stupid. That doesn't make any sense, you know? Like, after I wrote this, you know, I'm like putting everything I got into this, like, this is what I'm thinking, God, and this is how I feel, and he's like, you know, anything contrary for going after righteousness, my son, it's a prodigal invention. The prodigal son was wasteful, you know? He went out and squandered everything his dad gave him. You know, not only is it would it be wasteful for me to go after anything but Jesus, but it would be me making up something that doesn't even exist. How pointless is that? You know, it's a prodigal invention. Again, maybe this is the end. I wrote this after your workshop, D. Awesome workshop, by the way. Close your eyes. You start going over those scriptures. I was like, okay, I know where that one is. I know where that one is. Oh, I don't know where that one is. I heard about it. Ooh. I've always wanted to have the ability to do what you did, but I've never had it. How you linked all those scriptures. It was like a path through the Bible. It was like, it flowed, you know. It was pretty awesome. It was pretty cool. So after your workshop, you know, I was sitting there and, you know, God's been letting me know that I lack the understanding of what true peace really is. I mean, I have my secret place, but I still don't understand what true peace really is, you know. I think that's the next phase he's going to instruct me on. So that's what he gave me. Nancy prayed for me after your workshop. She was like, I want you to think about measuring the cost. Like, I didn't tell her what me and God talked about, you know. But probably a couple months before I came here, I was out praying, and I was like, you know, God told me, he's like, you know, what you asked me for, you're going to have to do it by yourself. In other words, not that he was not going to be with me, but my wife wasn't coming with me, and brothers weren't coming with me, and parents weren't coming with me. This was between me and him. Whatever path he was taking me on, whatever lesson I had to learn, I had to do it alone. And I asked him why. I was like, well, why? He's like, because it's going to cost you everything. And everybody's not willing to give up everything. But you say from what you asked me that you are. So this is something you're going to do alone. So I didn't tell anybody this, but after your workshop, Nancy was like, you need to weigh the cost, you know. So this is what he gave me. How do you measure the immeasurable? How do you calculate the uncreatable? Who can see the unsolvable? What's perfect but not probable, impossible but all knowledgeable, sustainable but not breakable, unmakeable but obtainable, predestined but unfakeable. His name is unshakable. His grace is untaintable. His love is unmistakable. His glory creator capable. What's worth dying alone? What's worth bowing before the throne? What's the name of the cost? What's the loss and whose clause? The truth alone I don't know. The path to the throne is not my own. I sit and stare, for this love is rare. Although I know it's worth the loss, my courage inadequate to render the cost. And right there, I never really sat and just thought about what it was really going to cost me. There's nothing that I could conceive of that's going to stop me from getting what I asked for. But I never really knew what it was going to cost me. You know, I always think of, you know, everything, like you said, materialistic things, or, you know, giving up, you know, my wants here's or my wants over there. But God's like, no, that's easy. You got to give up the essence of who you are. You have to become me. When people look at you or you walk in a room, you have to change the atmosphere because you stepped in the room. When you come to a town, demons have to get scared because you're there, because you represent me. That's what you asked me for. It's going to cost you everything. So every day, I've had to, because of this God, this work God's doing in me, I have to literally get off on myself every day before I do anything else and go tell God, don't stop. I want more. Don't quit. I know I'm hurting and I'm crying, but don't stop doing what you're doing. Am I doing it for him? No, I'm doing it for me. Because I need to know that I'm not going to quit today. I need to know, no matter how much it hurts, how much pain I'm going to be in, I'm not going to quit. And that's what God is working on with me about righteousness. Because Jesus gave up way more than the world would know. He gave up heaven. He gave up the glory in heaven for us. You know, and I want to spend time with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus gave up everything. So I'm going to have to give up everything too, you know. And I, like I said, I'm going to have to give up things I don't even understand yet. I don't understand everything about me that's in me that God's like, we don't need that. But a little bit at a time, you know, one day at a time. And so that's what he's showing me, that righteousness in me looks like. doesn't look like my thoughts, my ways, or my actions. It's his thoughts, his ways, and his actions. And I can only do it by faith and the stillness, you know, and peace. Those are the keys. Like Dee was saying, you know, peace is what crushes Satan. That's what works. It's not me yelling scriptures at somebody or, you know, you're going to hell. No, no. Just be still. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. Be still, you know. So, that is it. That's all I got.